Monday, you can call up 4321101, request your favorite bit, your favorite action, your favorite memory from my past. Some memories I would rather forget. Some memories I would rather not have lived in the first place. Sometimes when you see me sitting quietly in a restaurant, clutching a double bourbon, my camel trembling, you want to come over and say, "Grace, listen to the show all the time." But then when you look up and you see the haunted look in my face, you see my bloodshot eyes, you see the lines, the bayonet scars on my neck. You see me mouthing my lips to a faraway tune. You start backing off. Because, you know, in my eyes I have the look of the possessed, a look of a man that was tested by fire back in the name with the days on my life. Let's go. Back in... All right. It's a wonder I can even talk about it. Talk about what? Talk about the days with the name on my uniform, said Grease Minnelli. But everybody knew me as Sergeant Fury. Quine Tree, 1967. We were on a search and destroy mission. We'd get tips that certain commie towns were actually storing arms and ammunition, storing suspected Viet Cong members. So we'd kick open the doors of the hooches and just open up on everybody inside. Yeah! Thank you, Baggett! Fire in the hole! It was incredible. Hooch by hooch. They'd be hiding under their stinking little blankets. They'd be crouched in corners. But when we got word that a town was VC, all its personnel were automatically the enemy! Yeah! Sorry to Mama Song! Yeah! It was incredible. Well, after one such foray into a town, we found a couple of commies that had been blown away by artillery fire. One of them was holding a sword. Robinson said, "Hey, man, look at this." I said, "Robinson, don't touch that sword." He said, "What do you mean? I saw it first." I said, "You can have the sword. But I think it may be booby-trapped. Remember, in Nam, Robinson, you move everything remotely. Remotely. Here, watch this." And I took a long length of wire. And I tied it through the handle of that sword. I said, "All right, everybody with me." And so we backed up 50 feet away from the sword. I said, "Now watch this." And I stood behind a large tree. I said, "When you move something in Nam, this is the way you move it." And I yanked that cord. Next thing I knew, I was in a hospital. Turns out the tree had been booby-trapped. I remember lying there. My fingers and my toes. I had everything. It was a bouncing Betty. It just tore me up. It didn't knock anything off. I couldn't believe my eyes, though. When I looked over into the next bed, there was a VC. I nearly freaked out. I said, "Corbin! Corbin!" But I was attracted. I couldn't move. I said, "There's a communist in the bed next to me." He said, "That is a wounded prisoner of war, Sergeant. He has the same rights to medical care as you do." And he left me there. And I looked across at that smiling, stinking commie who'd been burned pretty bad. He was wrapped in bandages, his face sticking out, and he was smiling at everybody, saying, "Oh, I mean, he was happy his war was over. He was in a big, comfortable bed with Americans pampering his every move, feeding him antibiotics that should have been going to GIs. I looked at that commie smiling, sleeping with his head open, going... I waited till he did a... with his mouth open, I said... Hit him right, he went... The doctors would come around and then they wouldn't know what the hell he was talking about. He'd just be lying there with his eyes blazed. They'd say, "All right, calm yourself, Link Duck, calm yourself." I waited till he drifted off asleep again. He'd be saying, Now wait, Lisa. I go. He'd wake up. Man, I just lunged that man left and right. It's the only time I ever prayed for tuberculosis. Well, the doctors had come in to make their rounds. And as I was lying there telling him I felt a little bit better, the main thing hurt me was this broken leg I had. But other than that, I wasn't doing too bad. He was passing out Camels. He put one between my lips. And just as he was lighting it, I heard a sound that made my blood run cold. Cowering underneath my bed, the sounds of the war opened up around me. It was awesome. Lying there, helpless, a big cast on my leg, in a hospital, a commie next to me in the bed. Bullets stinging through the tent. I knew gut-gripping fear as I'd never known it before. I could hear men screaming, "They're coming through the wire! They're coming through the wire! Detonate claymores! We're being overrun!" Finally, the battle started to subside. I didn't hear any American voices. All I could hear was the occasional, I realized that VC had overrun the camp. I kind of got up on one knee and flopped myself back in the bed just as one of them came through the door in his black PJs. Turned out it was a unit of five that had made it through. The rest of them were checking other parts of the camp and slipping back into the woods. But there were a few that stayed behind to mop up. And as they walked into the tent, they looked around going, "Oh, I see my heels, I hope we have, because I want to." They went from bed to bed, shaking guys that were in traction, making fun of us as we lay there wounded. It was then that I remembered my broken leg. When it broke out in the field, they splinted it with whatever was available, and it turned out they splinted mine with an M16. I could only hope they left the clip in place. It was a hurried evacuation. I reached down inside that cast, and I could feel the reassuring feel of that stock. Inching my way to the trigger guard, I grabbed it, swung the covers off the bed, pointed at those maggots, and said, "Yeah! All right! All right, all right, all right, all right, all right! Yeah!" And I cut them down where they stood. The doctors came out of hiding just then. Looking down at him, said, "Two gone. This one will make it. Prepare IV. 50 is adrenaline right to the heart now. CC's." And I couldn't believe it. I blew away two to third one still breathing. And they're trying to save his tuckers. After what we went through, they blew away the whole camp. They overran the place. And these guys are working at him like he's a human being or something. I couldn't believe it. He's on the table. I said, "What are you doing, sawbones?" He said, "Back off, soldier. Back off." Trying to save this man. It looks like he's got a chance. I reached into my holster and I pulled out my .45. I jacked around in there and I put it next to the maggot's head. I put it right to that maggot's head. I said, "Sorry, buddy. He just expired." The grease man